You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. On today's show, I'm going to react to the press conferences of both Sandy Alderson and the new owner, Steve Cohen. The first half of the show, I'll talk about the new owner himself and how he said everything right for Mets fans. It really does feel like an incredible new era to Mets baseball. Then later on in the second half of the show, I'll go through the returning GM, now turned president, Sandy Alderson, and his comments and how he plans on making the Mets a sustainable winner. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. So after months of anticipation, waiting to see Steve Cohen, to hear him talk about the Mets, he finally stood up there in front of the media, and everything he said was music to the ears of Mets fans. He basically hit a grand slam in his introduction. You could not have done any better. He came across as very likable, as very affable, came across as a family man, talking about how much Mets fans are going to love his wife. And if you follow her on social media, they already do, talking about the great work she's going to do in the community, building out some of their foundations and everything else. He talked about winning, which is obviously what you want to hear. He expanded on the fact that they're going to have resources to win, that they want to build up an analytics department, that he wants to bring in baseball people and let baseball people make decisions. I thought it was very interesting how he was asked a question about Luis Rojas and if he would be retained as the manager next season, and he very quickly turned it over to Sandy Alderson. He's my baseball guy. That's a baseball question that goes over to him. He referenced the fact that he is a big Mets fan, talked about growing up, going to the Polo Grounds, and everything that has happened throughout his life as he has followed the Mets. He even mentioned how being a minority owner was like being a season ticket holder, where he didn't have much of a say but was able to go to the games and everything. This is a guy who loves Mets baseball. His family loves Mets baseball, and he wants to do whatever he can to see the Mets win. He talked about his day job. He's going to continue making money at .72 as a hedge fund investor. He's not going to be running the Mets day to day. He's going to now have two jobs, but his main job is still his focus, and he's going to put the right people in place to handle the baseball stuff. It's a big hobby to him. And that's what I've been saying on this podcast for months now. Steve Cohen does not need to use the Mets to make money. This point doesn't matter to him. If he ever wanted to sell, which doesn't sound like he would, but that is where you'd make your money as an owner. This is an investment, but for him, this is almost a lifestyle type thing. He wants to be part of this club of MLB owners owning specifically the team he grew up rooting for. He now is in that incredible position he has worked his whole life to get to. And this is about fun. This is about doing things for Mets fans who have gone through a similar experience to him. And this is about winning now and being in a powerful position where he can impact winning when he's been sitting on his couch watching this team for decades. So as I have mentioned time and again, you want an owner where it's a hobby to them. You want an owner that's not living and dying by the bottom line like the Wilpons were. Because that's where you get into these situations like we're seeing around baseball where the pandemic has hit these teams and they're just cutting players because they can't afford them. You know what? I'll have to trade Francisco Lindor for 60 cents on the dollar because I can't sign him to a $300 million contract. I don't even know if I'm going to get revenue from fans until 2022. The Mets now are in a position where they have an owner who has all the money you could want when it comes to running a baseball team that is committed to using his money to address every aspect of the organization that needs uplifting. You need new technology, boom, he's got it. You want to build out analytics and bring in more baseball minds, he's willing to hire them. You need to address this roster, maybe dip into the luxury tax every once in a while. The Mets are going to do that. He spoke about building the great farm system, trusting their homegrown players, starting from there. And then if you have a need, you fill it. This is everything. Everything Mets fans have been clamoring for years. And he's already putting himself out there as an accountable figure in ways the Wilpons never would. He spoke more or spoke longer to the media today than I've heard in my 25 years of life with the Wilpons. Anytime that Jeff Wilpon got in front of cameras, it was to announce a big signing or to collect a trophy for something. And it was always dip, dive, duck, dodge when it came to the questions. And then he would get the hell out of there as quickly as possible, get away from the cameras, and crawl back into his basement or his bunker somewhere, wherever he was making his decisions. The Jeff Wilpon Bat Cave in the bottom of Citi Field, wherever he built his office. He tried to hide from everyone. He never held himself accountable. It was always a GM or a manager's fault. And here's Steve Cohen putting himself out there saying, look, if we don't win a World Series in 3 to 5 years, hold me accountable. Straight up says that. He talks about bringing in the baseball people. Sandy Alderson's going to handle this. He trusts Sandy. He talks about needing to learn from Sandy. He said he has a Little League baseball education. That's as far as he got. So he does not know all the intricacies of this business. But he plans on putting people in place to teach him, like Alderson, and maybe years down the line, he will be adept enough to run the Mets in a little bit more of an active role. But he's taking his time with it. He's putting the people in place to make the decisions. And for Sandy Alderson, that's a dream because now he has the opportunity to return to the organization he took to a World Series in 2015 with a lot of his players still on the roster, and he now has the freedom to go out and hire the best baseball minds to collaborate with. He has the ability to go into free agency and fill needs. He has the ability to build out a farm system internationally and any other way possible through trades to get to a point where the Mets are sustained winners. This is the ultimate sandbox for Sandy Alderson, and he's being empowered by Steve Cohen. I don't think these two guys could have done anything more to appease Mets fans in this introduction to the media. I want to talk about Alderson and some of the things he expanded on in just a minute. Built Bar is back. They are the most delicious protein bars you will ever try. They come in 18 amazing flavors, including their 6 new flavors. The Caramel Brownie Bar, Cookies and Cream, Cherry Barcia, Lemon Almond Cheesecake, Carrot Cake, and the Apple Almond Crisp. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars, coming covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they are healthy too. Coming low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Sandy Alderson is finally back with the New York Mets. I never thought I would see the day, but I am thrilled that this guy is back in a power position with the Mets. And I know there's fans out there who look at the Alderson era and they say, you know, we had so much talent in 2015. How did we not win more? And maybe you blame Sandy for that, especially because He fell on his sword on the way out. He took the blame. But the reason why he took the blame is because he's a stand-up guy who held himself accountable for the shortcomings of the organization as a whole. But that was a constrained Sandy Alderson. He was fighting battles every day, an uphill battle, against Jeff Wilpon to make the Mets respectable. And if you really think about it, and you think about what they became after Alderson left, and what they were prior to that, he did a damn good job overcoming the shortcomings of Wilpon to actually make the Mets respectable. If you look at 2014 through 2016, you should have been proud to be a Mets fan. There wasn't as much drama going on. He found a way to really keep Jeff Wilpon tucked away in that bunker I mentioned. He was unheard of until it came time to accept the trophy for winning the pennant. Other than that, never heard from the Wilpons. Sandy Alderson stood out in front. He took all the bullets, but he also kept the Mets intact, kept them respectable around the league. Now he comes into a position where he has all the financial flexibility in the world, and he has an owner who's not telling him what to do, who's asking him, what can I do for you? What a role reversal. And for Alderson, I mean, for a 72-year-old guy, he looked pretty damn happy today, didn't he? He was thrilled with this prospect. He was cracking jokes in old man Alderson fashion. He was very positive about every aspect of what the Mets are trying to do. This is the most amazing final job for a longtime baseball executive who now has been given the keys to a Maserati. You now have everything you could want as an executive. You got free reign. You can hire the people you want. He mentioned the fact that he's not going to be making baseball decisions, but he wants a seat at the table, just not a seat at the head of the table. He's looking right now to find a guy that's going to come in and command everyone's respect around the league. It's going to build out the organization with him. The most important hire right now is the president of baseball operations. That's what the Mets are looking to add right now. And from there, he said everything else will fall into place. I want to find this quote from Alderson. He says, "What we are looking for is the most accomplished baseball person we can find. And from there, the rest of the structure will flow. It's very possible we will have a general manager beneath that person, but I think we are going to allow that person to have some input for how that structure is ultimately created." So that is all they're thinking about right now. Let's try to work through the candidates really quick. Let's figure out the best guy. Let's bring in the person we want. They've already interviewed somebody on Saturday to potentially be the new president of baseball operations. Once you have that guy, the front office can flow down from there. So we'll see if some names get floated. Who knows? Maybe the Mets are a more tight-lipped organization now with the Wilpons gone, and we won't hear. Maybe they'll just make a hire. Who knows what's going to happen there? But I think that is very interesting to hear. He also talked about cleaning house and why it was important. He wants there to be a real collaboration between the front office, and he talked about needing to mix and mesh personalities that can work together. And sometimes it's more important to have personalities that work together than to have certain people with pedigrees in the past. It sometimes is the combination of people, not necessarily just the quality of people that you bring in. And so it's important to let that new president of baseball operations make some of those hires, bring in people they want to work with as they build this thing out. So I thought that was really interesting. You then look and he talks about the differences between the two ownership groups. And he tried not to slight the Wilpons. He was very professional. At the same time, he talked about the underlying perception that things are always going to be bad. They're going to be interpreted bad. They're going to be handled wrong. He talked about trying to change that perception and how he did so early on in his Mets tenure, but it was a periodical shift. And overall, the Mets went back to the norm. He wants to help change that, to foster in a new culture. He says, quote, "Suddenly overnight, I think people are interested in working for the Mets, who were perhaps not before. I think players are interested in playing for the Mets." The Wilpons had that bad of a reputation around the league. Now you open that up and you hear, hey, we got an owner with a big budget who's willing to let you make decisions and give you a lot of freedom. These executives are like, sign me up, especially right now when you are maybe restricted by your current ownership groups because they are losing so much money due to the pandemic. You're thinking, man, I'd like to go to the Mets and see what we can do. It's an exciting time for Mets baseball. And I think that was the overall vibe from everything these guys were talking about. He mentioned Brad Hand, Alderson did, saying that was an opportunity that if it happened a couple weeks later, maybe the Mets could have taken advantage of that and spent that $10 million and claimed him off waivers and brought him in. He said that the Mets now can focus more on the acquisition rather than the cost of the acquisition, which was a slight on the Wilpons, but it is just promising looking forward that now they're just going to look at the pieces that fit and the price tag is measured after. There was also the mention of shopping in the gourmet section instead of having to just go for the low budget items and how Alderson needs to find where that gourmet section is because he's never been able to shop there previously. You're talking about a guy who's basically spent a majority of his career in Oakland and under the Wilpons in New York. Now he can play as a real big market team for once. I remember when he originally got hired, it was like, okay, let's see what he can do with Moneyball by bringing that to a big market. Problem was, it was still Moneyball. There still wasn't the money to really spend and expand and play like a big market team. Now there is. So he is really looking forward to this opportunity. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with it, to see what the Mets look like. You go through and some of the other stuff he talks about, the foundation being there, they need to add pitching, they need to add depth in the minor leagues. Maybe that was a shot at Brody, who's counting. They need catching, they mentioned that. But they still said overall they have a real foundation if they add the right pieces. Maybe you're looking at a contender in 2021. Finally, I really like the fact that Alderson talked about his passion for helping the Mets, making the Mets a winner. I think one of the best quotes from the whole thing came where he was talking about the Mets as a storied franchise. He said some of those stories have been good, some of the stories have been bad. If we want to be an iconic franchise, which I think we are capable of doing, we have to write more good stories than bad. And occasionally, we have to write a really epic story. Are we in the epilogue, the beginning of an epic story? It's starting to feel that way, and you really got to appreciate that after the years the Mets fans have struggled through. Also, dating back to where Cohen said, talked about the Polo Grounds and how he started to root for the Mets. Alderson mentioned that and says he doesn't go back to those days, but he does have that intense emotion surrounding the Mets. He said, probably my most memorable moment is Wilmer Flores hitting the ball out on a Friday night. I'm a latecomer to the game as it relates to the Mets, but I am no less invested, not only in terms of my professional commitment, but also emotionally. This means something to Alderson to make the Mets a winner. And I really do think they're off to a great start. You have an owner who cares, who's giving Alderson a ton of freedom. You have an executive who has, 30-40 years in baseball, who knows all the right people, who's going to make good hires, who's going to build this the right way. And from there, everything can flow down. If you're that competent at the top of your organization, just imagine what's going to happen when you really start to empower these great scouts the Mets have had and you really give a roster that has a lot of talent some reinforcements. Again, blown away by what we heard in this hour and a half long press conference. Although speaking as somebody who had to write about Sandy Alderson's comments on MetsRiseOnline.com, which you just heard some of the things I wrote, he could have tightened it up a little bit. it wasn't his fault. There was like 90 media there, but man, I was taking down quotes for like an hour, having to pause and type. You know, you don't want to hear about my struggles as a blogger, writer, whatever. You just want to hear about the good stuff. And the good stuff is the New York Mets are going to be a damn good team, a damn good franchise, I believe, for the next decade, if not more. Nothing but positive vibes coming from Queens right now. Let's see what they do now as we hit free agency and the trade market and everything else that can happen over the winter. That'll be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. If you want to hear me talk about the Mets sale and other places, I was on Locked On Nationals over the weekend. That episode went up on Monday. You can check that out. I'll be on Locked On MLB today as you're listening to this on Wednesday. I recorded that tonight on Tuesday, so you can check that out. As always, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review to Locked On Mets wherever you get your podcasts. And you can always hear the show by telling your smart device to play Podcast Locked On Mets.